As I listen to today's text, it's hard not to sing along and start doing actions. Camp songs seem to pulse through me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And you may know some of those as well, and we will sing at least one of them later in this service. These songs are catchy, and the words behind them important, which makes me glad that these songs have helped me to memorize this passage. Many of us know this call to love. Love God, love self, love neighbor. But before we get too carried away in this happy love fest, remember, as Irvin said, this is Lent. And also that Jesus tends to tell a story that has a sting in its tail. The passage today is at the end of multiple contentious conversations that Jesus was caught up in. Jesus is pushed on specific teachings and tells some parables that are hard to explain. Teaching Sunday school these last few weeks has been hard, y'all. Today's text starts with, "One of the scribes came near." At first, we might take a deep breath and brace ourselves for another challenging encounter. But instead, we witness the only positive exchange that Jesus has with a scribe that is written about in the Gospel of Mark. The scribe starts to challenge Jesus, asking him what seems to be an impossible question. Which commandment is the first of all? Really? Of all the teachings, you want Jesus to name just one? This must be a trap. But Jesus' response pleases the scribe, and he agrees with Jesus, affirming what the other has said. This scribe is not seeking to entrap Jesus, but to learn from him. His approach is that of a fellow rabbi, not a hostile opponent. The scribe is not converted at the end of this interaction with Jesus, but Jesus tells him that he has answered wisely. And the crowd is left with respect and awe. Could this interaction be a model for us of how to interact with those we disagree with, those we are pitted against, and whom we assume we can't even have a civil, meaningful conversation with? The scribe and Jesus zoom out and talk about foundational concepts, what is really at the core of who we are and what we believe, and they find common ground there. Lest we think that the love of which they speak is too ooey-gooey without much grit to it, we read on and we hear what this love asks of us. Jesus sits down across from the treasury and watches as people put their money in. This passage has often been used to praise the poor widow and to call out the hearers to give more generously and sacrificially. The statement that Jesus makes does not put a moralistic judgment of good or bad on the woman's giving, but he does point some things out. The verse before the story of the widow refers to those who devour widows' houses. When we ask or require those who have little to give, even to religion, are we truly living out the commandment of love? Is Jesus praising the widow or condemning the structure that claims her might? Ched Myers holds that the widow is not a contrast to the scribes, but instead an example of the scribes' greed. Verse 43 signals the temple has robbed this woman of her very means of livelihood. Like the scribal class, it no longer protects widows, but exploits them. Jesus speaks to the scribe using the words of the Old Testament, of drawing on the Shema and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. He hearkens back to the words that are placed on door frames in Jewish households even today, words that are sung and spoken at the beginning of prayers. Many of you might have heard them last week in Fiddler on the Roof. Shema Israel. The scribe responds, reframing words back to him, and then that adds that we are to love God with our heart, our strength, and our understanding, and that this is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Other words of songs spring to mind for me. I hate all your offerings and loud songs. If the life that you live is a lie, let justice flow like a running stream, a creek that will never run dry. The Torah and the prophets call followers of God to look at their practices. They don't say that God doesn't want our sacrifices, but that God hates it when we make offerings to God and then turn around and trash our neighbors. The prophets weren't saying, don't praise God, but without showing justice to the least of these, God isn't really interested in the words of praise that feel empty and meaningless. God isn't interested in the scribes giving big gifts of money in their showy way when they use this to hide their actions of dispossessing widows of their homes and their well-being. In our giving, we need to ask, do our acts of piety actually rob agency and the very life from others? The love that Jesus calls us to here is loyalty. Total loyalty to God in the way we think and reason, the way we feel and act, and total loyalty to our neighbors. We are to love our neighbor in the way that we love ourselves. That is, we are to be tolerant of, to have time for, to be interested in, to make excuses for, to deeply desire the welfare of our neighbor in the same way that we have these attitudes towards ourselves. How can we be loyal to our neighbor and then expect them to give their all, to place their trust and their vulnerability in the community, and then not come through for them? We give to the community trusting that they will give and do the same, and thus we will all be cared for. At a pastors and leaders conference a few weeks ago, Betty Priest reminded us of a teaching that I have heard multiple times in active nonviolence trainings. We have two hands. One that welcomes the other to work with us, acknowledging their humanity alongside our own belovedness. Come, let us work together. While the other hand holds a boundary, there is an action or an attitude that is not okay or just. I am calling you to stop. Jesus does this with his followers and his opponents over and over again. Jesus welcomes them to follow and believe and to be fully loved and restored into the kingdom of God and to change their ways, calling out injustice and the poor treatment of the least of these. Jesus invites the scribe into conversation, into asking hard questions, and into wrestling with these important teachings. And Jesus names the attitudes and postures of the scribes that are out of line and need to be stopped, because they are oppressing others. We are invited into this kind of conversation alongside Jesus. In Elders this week, we were reminded of Brené Brown's words that we need to assume that the other is doing their best. How might this call to love God, love self, and love neighbor be strengthened or made practical by assuming that we are all doing our best? Instead of jumping to judgment of the other, can we at least be open to a conversation we might need to have with them? And how do we give ourselves a break, assuming that we are doing our best? And out of that space of being held in the love that God showers back on us, we can approach friend and enemy with two hands. Lord of love, you have taught us that love is your greatest commandment. Teach us to love unconditionally as you have loved us. Amen. We respond with these words together. Holy God, we come together to worship a people who would like to think that we love you with all our heart and soul, with all our might. But there are so many other things in our lives that clamor for our attention, that we often relegate you to Sundays and Wednesdays, and times when we want you to rescue us. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. Most of us really do want you to be the one in whom we live and move and have our being. We really do want to hear your voice above all of the other voices in our lives, but we get bogged down in daily routine. We forget who we are. We forget who you are. We forget what the church is supposed to be. We declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. So here we are, standing before you today, with our human foibles and our short attention spans, asking that you would make yourself known to us, that you would help us to recognize the presence of the holy, that you would continue to challenge us, inspire us, and make us into the people you want us to be. The Lord our God is one. We will love with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.